Manu Garg, I'm working on the Manthara project with my brother Soumya Garg. I'm a junior here. He goes to school at Washington University. We've been working on this project for about a year now. So I just want to walk you through basically what it's all about. Basically, in India, for the rural population, there really isn't any access to healthcare. The Indian government provides healthcare, but just to give you an example, for every 1 rupee spent on villagers in India, for the lowest quintile of the population, about 3 rupees are spent on the richest. And that's the kind of expenditure breakdown from the Indian government. And so basically the problem with the villagers accessing healthcare, this healthcare that the Indian government actually provides, is that they are so far away from it. There aren't any accessible hospitals to this healthcare. Just to give you one of our mentors in India, actually, his name is Yogesh Kulkarni. We've been working with him. He sent us an email and he said, when you will come over here, you will realize transportation and communication problems are the two major problems in providing healthcare to the villagers. So basically, it's hard for them to get to. And when they get there, they actually haven't spoken to anybody beforehand. There's not any modes for them to communicate with the doctors or the people that they'll be needing to communicate with. So they end up having to wait days sometimes for care. And they're already sick. They're farmers. They're agriculturalists. So their crops need daily attention. And it's basically a big disruptance in their entire life. So our idea is to take advantage of this booming technological innovation in India, and that is the internet kiosks that are spreading everywhere in India. Currently, they are outnumbering telephones systems in rural India. And I just heard recently, actually, about a month ago, that the ICICI Bank, the second largest bank in India, is working with the Indian government to pass a bill to put up 50,000 more kiosks in the next year. So this is a big, big thing. It's happening in India, it's happening in Africa. And the major forces behind it are that the rural community wants to be more connected. They enjoy access to things like microfinance and all of the resources that the internet provides them. And I've actually seen a lot of programs that are on these kiosks, and they look really good. And so what we're doing is putting on our program. Our program is Manthara. Basically, it's a telemedicine program. It's kind of outlined on the storyboard over here. And I want to pass this around for you so you get an idea of what is in this program. So you can see it's kind of far. Basically, or it's kind of small, so you can see it. Basically, it's patients will come. It's kind of diagrammed right here. Patients will come to the kiosk. The kiosk operator will help them enter their information into that. We added a language component this summer so that it's actually in the Hindi language. You can see it over there. They actually speak Marathi. So you could actually have it in that language now. And the message will be sent to the doctor. The doctors that we're working with have committed to a 24-hour response to the message. And you could see kind of how that happens on the screen. And then the response, basically, the kiosk operator receives it and the patient gets it. So this is all happening through the internet. So that's basically the idea. Any questions on the idea? The most important form is probably this triage form right here, where the patient puts in all of their symptoms. And we've tried to make it both as complicated and as simple as it needs to be. Not too complicated, where they're over perplexed with all the options, but also having all the options so that the doctor can correctly diagnose what's wrong with the patient. And also, the doctor has always the option of just signing his recommendation to come in to see him. So, but the point behind that is that the patient has never heard that recommendation before. There's no way right now for the patient to communicate with the doctor. In the village that we're working with, they don't have telephone lines, but they have internet. So that's the idea behind that. Any questions before I go on? Okay, so we went to India this summer, and this is kind of like a sample kiosk where we were. Basically, there's just computers, and this is a kiosk operator helping people. And we determined that the kiosk operators are very excited to have this program. They think that it will increase their business, which we believe also. And they also think that the doctors, more doctors will respond positively than what we've already heard from, because they think that the doctors will receive more patients. Basically, they can recommend at any time, you know, come in to see me. You have something I can't determine, or there's something wrong with you that I can't determine, so you need to see me. So, I mean, what they, what all sides of this believes is that they're going to benefit in some way. The villagers obviously get access to health care finally. Kiosk operators get increased benefits or increased business, and doctors get increased business in the long run. One other thing is that the kiosk operators, the program that they have on there, are for the service of the community. A lot of times they don't even charge for the villagers to come in and use their computers. Basically, they were provided this service or this computer from a larger community. Like, let's say that Indian government comes in and gives you a computer, and your job, because they gave it to you, is to allow other people to use it and help them. They gave it to you because you're literate, and they gave it to you at no or minimal cost. And so basically, they just allow villagers to come in. Right now, the volume for them is probably low, like maybe 3 or 4 times a week. But there are some really booming businesses for kiosk operators as well, especially in this village we went to. We met with over 30 kiosk operators, and at least 3 of them made a business off of it so far. So the rest of them, they have the service available, but they just use it to provide service to the, their community. So they're already in that mode of providing service. So that was a good thing. Okay. So finally, I want to talk about, any questions? Okay, finally, I want to talk about the road ahead. As you can probably tell, we didn't launch the program this summer, and there are multiple reasons for this. But we were advised by our community partners. Basically, Mr. Yogesh Kulkarni told us that if you set it up, everybody got really excited about it. He told us that if you set it up, because we were ready to launch it, and then you leave, it'll basically fall apart. You won't be here to promote the program, and we don't have enough manpower and things like that. Resources. We didn't have money to pay him to hire anybody. So basically, we came back with the goal in mind to make more modifications, things that we didn't have time for over there, and actually redesign the vision at work here so that it actually looks kind of professional looking. And not something that a computer science major just did, which is what happened. Redesign that so that it's more appealing, and then raise some money to hire somebody who can promote this all the time and basically be there for troubleshooting, for communicating between the doctors and the community, because it is quite a distance, and somebody that we can get is dedicated to do that. And so far, along that road, we've a friend of mine is going to India this summer, and he's already agreed to interviewing people that might be interested for this position, the same community that we were in. So we're focusing on that one community. It's called Pabal. It's outside of Pune, which is in Maharashtra, which is on the western coast of India. So, yeah. If you don't have any questions, I'm going to keep going. So, okay.
Firstly, how are you planning on raising the money? And also, can that be made? It seems like the Indian government are very excited about these internet kiosks.
Yeah.
And have you thought about in any way approaching the government so that instead of you having to raise the money, it actually becomes a sustainable thing and just part of their general internet infrastructure? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The money that we raise is actually just going to go towards hiring somebody to promote it. And we need that in the beginning because we need to work out all the kinks, and after 6 months of it being used, we will be able to tell, you know, well, maybe 6 months to a year of it being used, we will be able to tell if it's actually effective, or, you know, does everybody actually get that, you know, like they have all these expectations for this, so do they all come through for everybody, and if not, how can we make up for it? Like, let's say that the kiosks operators aren't getting more business or something, but they're using all of their time to help people. Or let's say that the, because right now they don't charge, some of them don't charge. And, or let's say the doctors don't find that the patients are actually coming in, or whatever the case may be. So after we work out things like that and actually tell if this is going to be successful or not, so that'll take about like 6 months we're planning for right now. And then we've already like talked to people. Like I've talked to the ICICI Bank, and that's how I found out that they were actually, they're launching similar programs to this. So it's kind of interesting because it's like, They like the idea. Well, I mean, so you could tell that they actually like this idea too, because they're actually doing it. And it's not because we told them to, it's because they had some similar idea. So, I mean, I had initially thought of asking them for funding, so that's why I had gone to them. But when I found out they were actually launching it, I thought, you know, that it'd be great if whatever they came up with, whatever we came up with, like maybe we could learn from each other. Work off of each other, and like we could, when we actually start making this sustainable in the future, then I plan on going back to them. But for this testing period, I think that we were planning on raising the money through applying for grants and things like that. So, through different, sorry.
What do you plan to have done by the end of the semester?
Okay, so by the end of the semester, there's a lot of things need to be done, actually. There are a lot of manuals and written material that we need to produce in terms of user manuals, information for, I guess, what each screen is kind of all about, all these things that just need to go into just having a workable program. And along with that, we have done a couple cases, like sample cases for kiosk operator training. Things like that just need to be produced, and then also testing the usability of the program before we go and launch it in December. So that's a lot. And then finally, applying for funding. Another thing that we wanted funding for was to purchase a couple of these. These are automatic blood pressure, temperature, and just vital sign machines. And they're really easy to use. Like, I have a 10-year-old child here using them, my sister, and. and it's kind of like a mini kiosk station computer, and she's using, you just strap it on and press a button. And so things like that would be good to have in that community, because then the kiosk operator doesn't need any health training, but they can strap it on and press a button and write the numbers down in the proper field. So those are things that they can do that we can expect them to do. And to see if it's actually effective or not, like, we don't really know ahead of time before we actually try using it if it's effective for the doctors or not, like what the benefit of having it is. So we were going to try it in just a couple of kiosks at first. The problem is they're expensive. So just applying for funding for things like that is the job this term. Yes.
What kind of input have you gotten from the medical community about their comfort level using the technology, whether they've got the equipment in the office that they can use it, and what are their incentives to not tell people to come into the office where they actually have to? This could be a money-making thing for them, and could they abuse the system by just expecting everybody to come in?
There's two things. Yeah, that's actually a good point. There's two things. I had something to say to your first point. Sorry.
Just what their comfort level was with.
Right. Okay. So basically, we told them what the program was, and they were excited. I mean, they were interested. I wouldn't say as excited as the kiosk operators, but they were definitely supporting us and saying, you know, bring it to us. And they looked through it with us, and they thought it was okay. But I think for them, the real thing is, once we try it out, we'll know what's wrong. Like, I don't think they're in the position right now they don't really foresee things happening. Like, I don't think they've done that. They just looked at it, and they were just like, yes, we'll help you. You know, this is a good idea. And
do they all have?
This one did.
Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering how widespread that would be.
Yeah, that's a good question. Most people, like in India, computers are just like everywhere now. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, all the hospitals I've been to have had them, but that maybe that's just all the hospitals I've been to in India. I've been to like, well, because my one of my, the people I stay with in India, they're doctors. So I've been to a couple. And so it's, yeah. And then in this community when I came to the, because I'm from the north. So anyways, yeah, there's just a lot of computers going everywhere in India. But I'm not sure if every hospital has it or the percentage either. But about that, the incentive for them not to tell patients to come in is that basically they split their time up into people that have money and people that don't have money. And they devote a lot of time to people that have money because they got paid more. And so they do get a stipend from the government, unless they're private doctors, of course. But they also get paid extra from people that have money to provide them more care. I'm not really sure how it works, but it sounds that's how it does work. And so basically, I guess if they told everyone to come in, then they'll have to deal with a lot of people that don't have money for their time and things like that. A few patients, I'm sure, they'll just be, you know, like, they'll get an increased population from this sector that doesn't have any healthcare right now, talking to them. And, you know, they might not ask them to ever come in, but they might determine, you know, one Saturday a month, I need to be there. Or if I come there in that community and this community pays me X amount of money, then I'll come like once a month or something like that, or organize bus trips or things, something like that. So, I mean, there's a lot of potential just between connecting the doctor and the patient, because right now there is no communication, so. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, I did, which is a little bit tied to Chris's question, which is, so is there, you know, does the doctor get compensated for, let's say, spending a day reading through 15 cases, none of which are worth recommending that they come in? So is there some method of, you know, compensating the doctor for their doing the online work? And that connects a little bit to sort of this lack of clarity that I had on, you know, would kiosk operators charge for using this program, simply charge for using the kiosk, or like, have you worked out sort of those kind of things?
That's actually the doctor that we're working with right now, they haven't said that they would charge initially, but that could change depending on volume. I don't think they're expecting a lot of volume because they don't really know what's going on in the villages either. So they said they would be willing to do it, and then we just made them commit to a 24-hour turnaround. And the second thing that you said about kiosk operators, that's actually per facility. Like I said, a lot of the kiosk operators just have this internet, and people do come in and use it, but they're mostly people that they know, people like that live down the road, and they just come in and like look things up. They actually have a lot of programs, like agriculturally based programs and cooking and farming, all kinds of stuff. And so, like, if it's like that, then I don't think they would charge. But if they see that there could be a business off of it, then they're going to start. But there are businesses that are already there. They're going to keep it the same system that they have. Like, we're not going to go in and make it like you have to, you know, charge per visitor, you have to charge per hour, or whatever system they had, I think that's how they're going to just keep it going. So.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, sorry. All right.